Well, this morning we're going to be talking about a fairly well-known piece of scripture, or it would be well-known if what people think is there actually was. And so we're talking about money. As I mentioned in my blog, the two things you're really not supposed to talk about are money, or religion and politics, and people often throw money in there. So in the last 3 weeks, well, we talk about religion every week, but we've got politics, and now we have money, so I guess I've hit all the taboos. Why not? We can't talk about them here. Where can we talk about them? And so the sermon title is, "What's Wrong with Money Again?" The answer, of course, is nothing. And the well-known passage of Scripture that I alluded to is the one that everybody thinks in the Bible, that money is the root of all evil, which isn't in the Bible. Money is not the root of all evil. Money isn't the root of anything. Money is just a thing. It's a tool, like a spade or a car. It's just something that we have said has value. Money doesn't even really have value, except that we all accept that it does. What Paul says is the love of money, the root of all kinds of evil, is what it says in the New International Version. It's the love of money that's the root of evil. Well, why would that be the case? Well, there's something peculiar about the love of money. There are lots of things that we love. And what's interesting for most of us is that love seems to be somewhat elastic. When we get married, we love our spouse and we think, how could I possibly love anyone more than this? How could I even add someone? And then we have children. And whether you have your children in small packs like I did, or you have them one at a time, doesn't really matter. The first one comes up, and you go, this family now takes up all the love I have. What am I going to do if I have another child? And you do, and you love them too. It's amazing. Love just seems to expand. To be as big as you need it, to encompass as many people as possible. So why would we talk about the love of money as being a problem? Because the love of money is different. Have you ever noticed that when people fall in love, they're easier to get along with? Isn't it fascinating that when your children, your friends, you may remember for yourself, when you fell in love, suddenly the world took on a bit of a glow? Those people who drove you crazy didn't drive you quite as crazy. You're a little more tolerant, perhaps, even of your siblings. They wondered what was going on. Oh, yes. They're in love. Love of money doesn't do that to people. Love of money is this consuming desire that puts everything subordinate to it. It's an extraordinary thing, and it's unfortunate that Paul used the word love, although I don't know what else he could have used, because it's unfortunate that we use the same word for both of those things, because the love of money is something completely different than the love we have for the people around us, the love we have for God. Paul says that for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The love of money will even replace the love of God. Our love for God, our love of money doesn't replace God's love for us, but it will push our love of God and our love of other people. It will push it out. This doesn't mean that it's money's fault. So I said, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's a notion that you sometimes run across that poverty is fundamentally virtuous. And people come to that conclusion because of the many times that Scripture talks about poverty and what we need to do with it and how we need to relate to people who are that way. We even misremember another piece of Scripture, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and turned into "Blessed are the poor." There's nothing virtuous about poverty. Poverty isn't a vice either. The fact that someone's in poverty doesn't mean they're evil. It's not a sign of God's judgment. But being poor isn't in and of itself a good thing, because money doesn't bring with it evil. There's nothing wrong with wanting money to do, so you have it to accomplish the things you need. The love of money is when you now look to money to accomplish everything in your life. When you take money and you look at the security it provides, because it does provide temporary security, when you look at that as a replacement for the security that you should be finding in God, there's a problem. Paul goes on to say, after he said that some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith, he says, but you, man of God, now he's writing a letter to Timothy, to a particular man of God, so it's really to all of us, so it'd be better put to you, people of God. Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. The things that we want, the things that make us more like God. Paul strongly suggests here can't be done while simultaneously engaging in a single-minded pursuit of money. If you have a love affair with money, you really can't love God. As I said, it's unfortunate that we use the same word, because if you're in love with your spouse, if you love your children, if you love your extended family, you could still love God. It often enables you to love God even more, and the love of God enables you to love your family more, and it becomes a virtuous circle. The love of money punctures that and destroys it entirely. There's nothing wrong with wanting what money provides. There's some things that all human beings need. We need shelter, we need food, we need water. Without those, we die. There's nothing wrong with us wanting not just shelter in the form of a tent or a box under a bridge, but in a home that has comforts in it so we can invite people in, so we can be hospitable, so we can enjoy our home with our families. There's nothing wrong with that. It's strongly affirmed and approved all through Scripture. But how many homes do you need? I watched a documentary recently about the financial blow-up in 2008, caused only and solely by greed. There's no other conclusion you can come to. You can listen to these people making their defenses, and what it all comes down to is greed. Where the love of money absolutely consumed them to the point where money itself had no more point. It was just the pursuit of it. How many houses does anybody need? 4? 5? 6? How many square feet should a house be? 4,000? 40,000 square feet? How many 40,000 square feet homes do you need? I'm guessing you don't need even one, let alone many. This documentary was fascinating, like watching a slow motion train wreck. To have people willing to say on camera that, if I remember the numbers correctly, that $16.8 million in salary for a year really wasn't enough. How can that not be enough? What does the word enough mean then? Well, it means nothing. These are people who are so caught in the love of money that nothing else matters. Not the law, not their relationships, not their ethics, nothing. The love of money destroyed them as people, whether they're in jail or not, doesn't matter. It's the love of money. When instead of looking to the gifts of God that provide meaning to our lives, that provide contentment, as Paul mentions in this passage as well, when we replace those with a love of money, not even the things that money can provide, but money itself, we're lost. There's nothing else left for us. We want to be the kind of people who pursue and achieve righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. We want to be able to take hold of eternal life. All of the things that Paul talks to Timothy about. We want to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, not here. But if we fall into the trap of thinking that money will solve our problems, or worse yet, we fall in love with money itself and the pursuit of it, all these things that we do want become impossible. One of the things that characterizes people who follow God, according to Scripture in this passage and in many others, is contentment. Contentment, as I've said before, is a word that frequently gets misused. Contentment is often looked down on. If you're content, it's because you have no ambition. If you're content, it's because you've settled. Well, that's not contentment at all. That's settling. That's something else. We already have a perfectly fine word for that. We don't have to misuse contentment. Contentment means that you're not grasping for more just because it's there to be grasped. Contentment means that you look at those things you have and you appreciate them. And you say, these are wonderful. That my life is not summed up in the things I have. And if I don't have enough of those, whatever enough looks like, I'll always be unhappy. Contentment says, no. I've been blessed with many things. Content people are really attractive people. We like being around them. Have you ever noticed that people who are fixed on money, that's all they talk about? Whatever you bring up, they'll somehow turn it around to how you should have done better or they have done better. They're really tiresome people to be around. People who are content are those who can rejoice in what good things are happening to you, because it doesn't diminish them at all. Because content people realize that it's not a zero-sum game, that it's not all about dividing a finite pie. People with this relentless pursuit of money think that anytime anything good happens to someone else, it means it can no longer happen to them. I sometimes wonder if the love of money should be considered an addiction. We talk about addictions. We talk about, you know, I'm addicted to chocolate. I'm addicted. Yeah, well, but that's just a misuse. It's a colloquial use of the word. An addiction is something that takes over your life, destroys it, and then kills you. That's what an addiction is. That's why drug addiction is such a terrible thing. That's why work addiction, not just people who work too much, I'm talking about work addiction. This love of money will take over your life, destroy it, and then it will kill you. We don't have to be that way. And I hasten to add, I don't think that we are that way. When I was looking at this text, I didn't have someone in mind who's sitting here today or might be sitting here today, but what I realize is that all of us can fall into this fairly easily. And often it starts well. We think, you know, if I had a bit more money, I could do this good thing. I could give more money to missionaries. I could give more money to the church. I could do this. I could do that. And there's nothing wrong with those desires. Those are good things. But unfortunately, it's not that much of a leap from there to, I need more to do those things, and I need more to do more things, and eventually it comes down to I need more. And the things that you plan to do with it become secondary, or perhaps even irrelevant. That can happen to us. And we don't have to wait till we're fully blown in this problem before it causes problems, so this word is for us. We need to avoid the love of money because it's the root of all kinds of evil, and I seem to be able to acquire enough roots of evil already without adding them, just by being human. Well, here's one that Paul says, this is a good way to make sure you don't get any more. Stop loving money. Well, how do you know whether you are or not? Well, are you growing in your pursuit of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, all of the virtues that we want? When you think, I could do a good thing for that person, but then I wouldn't be able to do this other thing that will make me money. I'd forgive that person, but then it would interfere with my ability to acquire more money. Whatever it might be, if you start realizing that those are the thoughts going on in your head, you're moving in the direction of the love of money. Then stop. It might not be easy, but it's certainly possible. We step away from the love of money by reminding ourselves that we love God. And that our love for God comes first, and that from our love for God flows out this ever-expanding, elastic, infinite balloon of love for the people around us, people we don't even know, for the things of God, for all of the things we want. Love of money pops that balloon. That's how we deal with it. When we find ourselves, or we wonder, are we moving into those kind of people who love money for its own sake? Ask yourself, how am I moving in these other directions? How can I become more godly, become more loving, become more forgiving, become more righteous? What are the changes I may need to make so that those things, those virtues, come before money, and money is used to expand those virtues? There's nothing wrong with money. Money is neutral. Like I said, it's a tool. It's just like a spade. You can use a spade to dig a hole to plant a tree, or use a spade to dig a hole that somebody will fall in and break their leg, I suppose. Spade isn't the problem, it's what you take to the spade that's the problem. Money is not the problem. Having money does not make you a bad person. Not having money doesn't make you a bad person either. Any more than it makes you a good person. It's the love of money. It's losing sight of where money fits. Money is not the source of our security and our happiness. That's God. We don't love money any more than we love that spade. We love people. We look at the money that God has blessed us with as a tool to do good things for Him. We look at it as an opportunity to do things and make use of it in ways that turn us into the people we are created to be. Generous people. Prudent people. Content people. What's wrong with money again? Nothing. Unless you fall in love with it. And then it's still nothing wrong with money. It's something that we need to deal with. As we resist the desire, or resist the temptation to love money, remember that the way to do it isn't to just ignore it, but instead move towards righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, not climbing up the financial ladder. And when we do these things, that's when we become the people that God created us to be. Not someone just waiting to sprout new roots of evil. But fallen people, to be sure, but generous, gracious, loving people. Amen.